Our lesson this morning is going to be on the characteristics of the last days. You know, we all yearn to know what the future holds and what will the end times be like and how close are we to the latter times. And prophecy in Scripture deals with these things to come, and therefore it must have much to say about the latter days and the end, the time of the end, the latter times, the last days, as well as those great periods known as the day of the Lord and the day of God. Surprisingly, the earliest reference to the last days is found in Genesis chapter 49, verse 1. Just take a quick look. I want to point out there Jacob is on his deathbed. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." In his foremost forecast, there were references to Christ and also at some point in Antichrist. Now, in the Old Testament, there are 14 references to the old days or the last days, and they're listed. They're in Numbers, Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And I'm not going to go through and look at all of those, but a study will show that the prophecies of the Old Testament regarding the last days embrace all of them point to the days of Messiah and his first and second advent. If you want to take a closer look at all of those, the Companion Bible lists all those references on page 69 in the Companion Bible. So you can go through and take a look at all of those if you want to do a little study on it. So it becomes clear early on that caution is in order when speaking of the term last days, because there are different last days you can imagine and appreciate in each dispensation. For example, Peter refers to the last days, but the context also, he is speaking of the days that immediately precede the great and dreadful day of the Lord and the resurrection and the restoration of Israel. So the last days that he speaks of are different than maybe that which Paul might speak of. Six times in the gospel, the Lord himself speaks of the last days, but he is there referring to the days of resurrection and judgment. So it's different than maybe what Peter was speaking of. In Hebrews, these last days refer to the days of Christ's first advent. Each writer views the subject from his own point of view. Peter's last days would be the last days of the dispersion associated with the kingdom and Israel. But Paul's last days would be the closing days of the dispensation of the mystery. And these are the last days that I want to look at today. Those that refer strictly to the time in which we live, the dispensation of the mystery. The only prophecies regarding the last times and days that belong to this dispensation, the time in which we live, are found in 2 Timothy and in 1 Timothy. And they do not have so much to do with setting a date as they do with revealing the beginnings of apostasy. For one thing, because you cannot date or establish the year of the end times of this dispensation with great accuracy. And there are several reasons for this. I can point out four for your thinking. Number one, the fact that the church of the one body is called in a time of mystery, that being before the foundations of the world. So how in the world do you find, you get a starting point that was before anything ever existed, that this dispensation and those chosen for the heavenly calling was way before the foundations of the world? So you have a hard time finding a starting point. Second, the fact that this mystery is the nature of a parenthesis. And you'll notice that we've studied there in Ephesians this mystery that is referred to in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 there is set within a parenthesis. It's a subject that's added into as almost a second thought. Number three, the fact that this parenthesis is but an alternative to Israel as a nation, being so lo-ami, not my people. So it's difficult to determine exactly when and where the last days may be if you're looking at a time factor. And of course, some go back, including myself, we go back and we look at Daniel's prophecy. We look at the 70 weeks. We try to determine when did those start, when will they end. And you can actually come close, I think, to where the last days may be with regard to a time date. Some think that there's still 1 week left of those 70 weeks. Others say that there's 3 weeks left or 21 years of that period of time. But we're not looking at that today. And then number four, the fact that while Israel as a nation is lo-ami, prophetic times are not computable. So the prophetic clock of the Old Testament is not progressing at this point, as it did not progress in the Old Testament when the nation of Israel was in captivity. So it's a bit futile to attempt a forecast that is very accurate as to when the actual end time of the dispensation that we live in will occur. And it's almost probably even unscriptural to try. For example, you cannot introduce into the present time signs of the end, such as Matthew 24, where it talks of wars and rumors of wars. That belongs to another time. It may overlap. We may have wars and rumors of wars. But if you try to take Matthew 24 and apply it to this dispensation, you have what I call truth, but you have truth out of place. And that's so much the problem with so much of Christian Bible study, is you find truth, but you have to have it in place, because truth is different in different time frames. And Matthew 24, signs of wars and rumors of wars, is a good example. However, we do have information regarding the last days of this dispensation that are written directly to the church of the one body. And so those are found, of course, in 1 and 2 Timothy. Tim read a couple chapters of some of that. But open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here is the beginning of apostasy found in 2 Timothy. Notice that he does not say day, but times, more or less in general, he is speaking. This departure from the faith is the outcome of verse 1, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. What is that? It's atheism, it's Buddhism, it's Islam, it's Scientology, other doctrines other than the gospel of the doctrine and the scripture of what we know as God's word. We see it in the first chapter of this, of Timothy. Turn back to chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As I, brethren, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Chapter 6, verse 3 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, even surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There Paul said in the first verse of the fourth chapter, back up to that verse, you'll notice there he speaks about the doctrines of demons, teachers who have no understanding. And the warnings that Tim read about in chapters 2 and 3 concerning days. The abuse of prayer. Being entangled in affairs of this world. Vanity of adornment. Vain babblings. The authority of women in the matter of teaching. The moral and spiritual qualifications of bishops and deacons. Greed. We certainly see that today in our culture, American greed. The excessive uses of wine. Not use of wine, but not much given to wine. Pride. Ungodliness. These are the beginnings of apostasy, a desertion or a departure from the truth of God. But the real crisis is found later in 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Notice this time, days, not times. It's a narrowing of the beware of. It's bringing it down to a closer time in which we live. Perilous, hard, difficult, narcissistic time. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, holy, national pride, if you will, disobedient to parents, just ask a teacher today, those that are in the school system. Unthankful, free, everything is wanted, food stamps, cell phones, unemployment insurance, everything. Unholy. You ever talk about unholy? Have you ever looked at some of the t-shirts that you see today people wearing? What it says on some of these t-shirts on the fronts and on the backs? It's literally a fulfillment of these prophecies that we find here in Timothy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Natural affection is talking about queers, homos, marriage laws that are out the window, truce breakers. Well, we find that, of course, constantly, truce breakers in Israel and Palestine. False accusers, slanders, incontinent. You know what is being referred to there? Unable to control sexual desires. Molestation of children. Fierce. That's a reference to what we see today at terrorists. Despisers of those that are good. Those that are good considered to be goodly two-shoes, you know. We see it constantly today in our times. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You see it constantly in the news today. High-minded, puffed up, esteeming self better than others. I think you see it to a great extent in the professional athletes that we see today that are paid millions and millions of dollars, puffed up. Lovers of pleasure. The churches today are empty. The golf courses are full. And that's not being down on golf. I like golf. But it's a matter of priorities that's being spoken of here by Timothy in the latter times. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Pious, philosophical teachers. Colossians 2:8, you don't need to go there, but Colossians 2:8 says, beware of these types. Stay away from them. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Reminds me of the hip-hop culture that we see today, the trading and the trafficking in women, and of course drugs that go along as well. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we find today in science. Agnostics, astronomers, mathematicians, philosophers. They think they are smart, and they are. But they cannot get to the truth. Why? Because the truth is spiritually discerned. The characteristic of these last days are like those early days of paganism that we saw, or that Paul saw. Turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 21. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and foul-footed beasts and creeping things, whereof God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacably unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Such is the prophetic picture of the last days of this dispensation in which we live. With such passages of Scripture as these, how can you teach, for example, and you hear it all the time on TV, send us the money, send us the money, because there is a great spiritual awakening about to happen in this country. It simply is not true. I hear this all the time. The only thing I can deduct is that it is, in fact, about the money. It's a sad state of affairs. But the thing that is so encouraging to me, as we look at this and we look at our culture, we look at around the world, and it's very obvious that we are coming to the latter times or the last days, whatever. I don't know when that time is for the second coming of Christ, but this I know, that we are closer today than we were yesterday, and we certainly are a lot closer than we were 100 years ago. Based on what is being taught here by Paul for the latter times in which we live. I thank God that we do have this guidepost that we can see where we stand and what is being taught with that which is indeed godliness, and we can thereby live by it in our own lives until that last day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, for the grace that we have, the salvation that we have in your Son, Christ Jesus. Especially grateful for this written word, for the opportunity to grow in it, in the grace and the knowledge of you with these other folks here. I pray that you would continue to give us all open hearts and minds, that we may all may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we may be rooted and grounded in love in our own lives as we live in a perilous times. Give us a peace that passes understanding as a result of our knowledge. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.